We'll begin in the book of 2 Peter. I'll give you a little time to find it. I'll give you a hint. It's right behind 1 Peter. Pretty close to Revelation. It's near the back of the book. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 1. Praise the Lord. Let's open in a word of prayer. And God's good. Amen. We want to give plenty of time for ministry here at the church, even if the preacher has to cut his sermon short. So we'll see where the Holy Ghost takes us today. I'm more than happy for the Lord's work to be accomplished. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you for elevating our faith today in you, causing us to rise to the level that you desire, Lord. You said, when you come again, will you find faith on the earth? Lord, our desire is that you would find it in us. So Holy Spirit, today, as the word goes forth, I thank you that faith is coming by the hearing of your people. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, hallelujah. I want to talk to you today about faith. The title of my message is Faith Basics, Faith Basics. And how many of you know faith is a fundamental truth in Christianity? And fundamental truths are those things that make the difference in when we hear success stories of businesses or sports franchises. If you look really closely at an individual or a team of people who are working together toward a goal, you'll find that often the most successful are those who master the fundamentals. Amen? Those who master the fundamentals. Well, the important thing to understand about faith is this. Faith is our part to play. Faith is your part to play in the kingdom of heaven. What I'm going to talk to you today about is principles that operate in the believer's life that seem like, it may seem like foolishness to the person on the outside looking in. Because honestly, until you're inside the kingdom of heaven, you can't understand what all God's put in our hands. But Jesus, how many of you know, Jesus welcomed us. He said, I confer upon you a kingdom. He told his disciples that. He said, I'm conferring upon you a kingdom. Listen, when you get saved, it's kind of like, I've used this illustration many times, it's like walking into a shopping mall. And being born again is like walking through the doors. Getting born again is getting you inside the kingdom. And once you're in the kingdom, go shopping. No, it's time to discover all that God has brought to our lives through Jesus. Amen? Amen. It's not just saving you from hell. Now that you're a child of God, the book of Revelation, which we're just winding down in our Bible readings, our chapter of the day, we're discovering there was an opening phrase in the book of Revelation that said, I have made you kingdoms, kings and priests. Amen. A kingdom to serve my God and my Father. Jesus got us saved, but he didn't take us to heaven right away. He called us as kings and queens to reign in this life. And so if you're going to operate as an ambassador of heaven on this planet, you need to know the powerful principles that God's put in your hand. And one of those principles is faith. Faith. Listen, if you're facing a difficult situation in life, you need both God's part and your part in order to achieve victory. And your part in the equation is faith. Faith. God's part is power. Amen. It's not your part to bring power to the table. That's God's part. Listen, when we come up for prayer here during ministry time and services, our part is reaching out with our faith. It's God's part to meet our faith with his power. Amen. Amen. And that's what we're believing for. That's what we declared today, that the impossible is happening in Jesus. Amen. Right now. Because God's power is being summoned through our faith. By the way, this message comes to us courtesy of Nancy Dufresne. I have to give her credit where credit is due. She's an amazing teacher God's raised up in the body of Christ. And I heard this word a while back, and I went back and just said, this is today's word. And so I've taken a lot of my thoughts, I mean, almost direct quotes. I have to be upfront with you because they're so good, I don't want to change them. Now, I did add my flavor. I'm a good chef. I don't just, you know, go with the recipe. I add my little touch here and there. But I'm just telling you, there's such a good word here, and I got to give credit where credit's due. She's doing an amazing job as a teacher in the body of Christ. So thank God for Nancy Dufresne, Pastor Nancy, there in California. Listen, anytime you and I get more skillful at faith, anytime you hear a teaching on faith or a sermon on faith, or you pick up a book at home that's on faith and it's building your faith or showing you how to tweak your faith muscle, so to say, you are getting better at your ability to cooperate with the power of God. Amen. How many of you know many times Christians don't receive things in their life because they just haven't been taught how to rightly cooperate with the power of God? The power of God is like electricity. And how many of you know there are certain laws that operate with electricity? You don't touch this when your fingers are wet. You don't touch this one and this one together. There's certain laws that you're just going to discover the hard way if you don't know in advance how electricity works. Well, the power of God is that way. Amen? And we have to humble ourselves as believers. We have to be willing to say, look, it hasn't worked for me in the past, but that's not God's fault. Maybe I didn't do something right. That's not condemnation. Let's just say, let's learn. Amen? Let's learn how this power operates, and then let's get it going in our lives. Amen. Praise the Lord. We want you to become skillful at cooperating with the power of God. Now you're at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. I'm going to go quickly today, so keep your thinking caps on. Don't let your mind wander. We're just going to get through this word, but it's good. I got a lot to deliver here. 2 Peter 1, 3. According to as his divine power has given unto us. I had Alan highlight that word given here on the screen because it's very significant. Say given. God has given through Christ Jesus. And what has he given? Look at the next part of the verse. All things that pertain to life and godliness. Everything you need for living and being godly in this life. How many of you know as a believer it's important not just to live this life, but to live it godly. Amen. Let's do it right. All things that you need for life and godliness through what? The knowledge of him. That's what I was just saying. We've got to know how these things operate. We have to gain knowledge of the Lord in order to operate efficiently with him. But through the knowledge of him that has called us to what? Glory and virtue. The glory represents the power. Virtue represents the character. How many of you need, you need both. Amen. You need character to go with the power. God's not into raising up little dictators on the earth. He's not into raising up little cult leaders on the earth. He gives us glory and power, but he also wants virtue or character to go with that glory. Amen? It's both. Praise the Lord. But I want you to notice in that verse, God says here, he hath, I like the King James. Sometimes the King James just really gives us good emphasis. Hath, H-A-T-H, given. Say hath given. That's past tense, is it not?
Yes.
That means you have it.
Yes.
Has God given it? Don't ask for what he's already given. Lord showed me a couple years ago that the prayers that don't get answered in our life many times are the ones that we're praying where God's already done it.
That's right.
Don't ask God to do something he's already done. That's like banging your head against the wall. It gets real sore after a while, and it doesn't get you anywhere. When God says, I've already given this, then just receive it and say thank you. Faith reaches out and says, I take it because he's already given it. And Peter declares here, he hath given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Are you grateful?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Faith is required as our part in order to lay hold of all these quote unquote given blessings. And how many of you know in Christ Jesus, everything we need is given. Amen. You need healing in your body. It's given. You need prosperity in your bank account. It's given. You need restoration in relationships in your family. It's given. Amen. It's given in Christ Jesus. Peter declares it here. We just have to reach out and receive it. Our part is to reach it by faith and take it in. Amen. Are you with me?
Yes.
You haven't gone to the football game already, have you?
No.
Is there a football game? I don't even know. It doesn't matter. This is the important stuff. God has authored victory for our lives through Jesus. But victory is not automatic. I hope you're writing notes and you'll write that phrase down. Victory, I said, is not automatic. Just because God has achieved it through the cross, just because God has provided it through Jesus, does not mean it automatically comes to your life and to mine. The victory he's provided is waiting for our faith to show up. Your victory is waiting for your faith. Amen? See, we're very time conscious. I've been praying for this healing for months and nothing's changed. Well, you know, in the eternal unseen realm of the kingdom, time is different. It's not a factor. The question is, are you keeping your faith on? Are you keeping your faith on? Amen. Because we know, according to what Peter said there, and what we just read, 2 Peter 1:3, he hath given. Amen. So we turn our faith on and we leave it on until when? Until the healing comes. Until the manifestation comes. Amen? And we see this in the life of Abraham, many of the other patriarchs in the Old Testament, where God said, I'm giving you this promise. And they had to wait and wait and wait and wait and wait. They kept their faith on the whole time they're waiting. Amen? They didn't turn away from the idea of faith. Look at 1 John chapter 5. You're in Peter. Just turn over to the left a couple books. Excuse me, to the right. Just a test. 1 John 5, 4. 1 John 5, verse 4. Reading in the King James Version. 1 John 5, verse 4. For whatsoever, or you might say whosoever, is born of God, overcometh the world. How many of you have overcome the world? If you're born again, the Bible says right here, I've overcome. Say, I've overcome.
I've overcome.
It's a done deal. You're born of God. You have overcome. That's a past tense, foregone conclusion. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Our faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Listen, if faith is the victory that overcomes the world, how crucial faith must be in the believer's life. I mean, you can't even call yourself a believer if you don't have faith, right? I mean, the two go hand in hand, don't they?
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
Yes.
They do. In case you were wondering. If victory is determined by our faith, it's crucial to keep faith strong, to keep faith built up, to keep faith fed, and to keep faith protected. You say, what do you mean, Pastor, by protected? Things like worry, unforgiveness, bitterness, offense, those things will eat away at your faith. They would degrade your faith. You know, when I think of one of the greatest prophets in the Old Testament, if I was to ask you, who is the greatest, besides John the Baptist, because Jesus said he's the greatest in the kingdom of God before Jesus arrived. But if I was to say, what is the greatest prophet who comes to your mind, if I say an Old Testament prophet, who is the most prominent figure in prophetic ministry in the Old Testament, what would the name come to mind?
Isaiah.
Well, of course, yes. Isaiah wrote great prophecies, but someone performed as a prophet. Who was that? Elijah. Elijah. Now, you look at Elijah's life, a man of great faith and power. I mean, he called down fire in front of the prophets of Baal. Boom. You know, when the whole nation seemed that was out to lunch in idolatry, and Elijah calls down fire from the presence of God. I mean, he was a demonstrating prophet. Isaiah, I would say, is an amazing theological prophet, whereas Elijah was a demonstrative prophet. And yet Elijah, even this great man of faith, what did he hit when he hit the wall when Jezebel threatened his life? What was the overall thing that came upon his life that snuffed him out? It was discouragement.
Yeah.
Discouragement. You know, discouragement doesn't have to make sense with your mind. The enemy can feed you discouragement. It's like a cloud that just kind of surrounds your thinking. It doesn't have to even be logical. Anybody ever encountered discouragement and you found that to be true? You know, you just wake up one day and you just feel like, ugh. You just feel like, you know, I don't have a purpose. There's no hope. You're not seeing hope that day. It's like someone put dark, dark sunglasses on your eyes. And indoors, it's even worse. It's like you're walking around in just a dark cloud. That's discouragement. Discouragement will drown. It will literally choke out your faith. And so you, as a believer, are responsible to guard your own heart against discouragement.
Right.
No one can do it for you. In fact, if you've ever gone to counseling or you've called your brother or sister in Christ up and said, hey, man, I'm feeling discouraged today. They can start feeding you the scripture over the phone. What are they feeding you? What you know to be true.
Yes.
What you ought to be reading yourself from the Bible. Amen. In combating discouragement. But listen, if you don't believe it, they can't even lift you themselves. So you've got to protect faith. That's my point. You've got to protect faith. Galatians 5, 6 says, faith works by love. You've got to stay in your love walk. You've got to guard against discouragement. Let me give you some practical tips real quick just on how to keep your faith strong. Number one, read the Bible. Read the Bible. Romans 10, 17, if you'll put that up on the board, Alan. We won't turn to it, but just we have it in the slides here. You can see it. I know you know this verse. So then faith cometh by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So when you stay in this book, your faith will what? It will come. It'll come. You don't feel faith today? Get in the book. Faith will come. Amen? Faith comes by hearing. Number two, watch preachers. If you can't seem to, you know, you can't seem to muster the strength to pick up your Bible and crack it open, at least click. I know you got that muscle. That muscle will never go away in the American culture. Just click the TV on and turn on your favorite television preacher, and in no time, what will happen? Your faith will rise. Amen? because faith comes by hearing the word of God. Or even better yet, go to a meeting full of the Holy Ghost. Go to a meeting where faith preaching is taking place. Amen. Listen, we meet here on Sunday. We meet on Wednesday night too. You need an extra dose? Jump in on our Wednesday night service. We'll feed you the word there in the presence of the Lord. Your faith will be strengthened. Amen. Do what it takes. And finally, if your faith is low, what else can you do as an individual believer? You can pray in the Holy Ghost. The Apostle Jude said, building up your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit. You can, you know, we all have cell phones, and we know when the battery's starting to get low, you get that little indicator on there, or the phone starts making funny noises. What do you got to do? You got to plug it in. You got to charge that thing up. Well, when your faith is feeling low, you have to charge it. You have to recharge it. How do you do that? You pray in the Holy Ghost. You say, well, my mind thinks it's kind of silly sounding. Yeah, I know. We all sound silly. Just jump in the club. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Pray in the Holy Ghost. You got to protect your hearing, saints. You got to protect your hearing. Your faith is directly tied to your hearing. You know, your spirit man has ears just like your body has ears. Your spirit has eyes. Your spirit has ears. It hears. And as you hear the right thing, your faith is strengthened. You know, there was 10 men in the Old Testament who decimated a nation by the report they brought back from the Promised Land. 10 people. They were the majority. There was 12 spies altogether. They were the majority. 10 out of the 12 brought an evil report, the Bible says. And by the hearing of that evil report, an entire nation, a whole generation was decimated. God said, you're all going to die in the desert because you believed the wrong thing. Your hearing is so important. This is what the devil's after. He's after our hearing. I call it the majority report. You know, when you turn on the news, when you see what social media is promoting or what ideas they're propagating, or you lean on any media, I call that the majority report. But the majority's not right.
That's right.
10 spies were wrong. 2 were right. But the crowd listened to the majority, and it cost them their very life. Your hearing is so crucial, saints. Listen, we get you one and a half hours each Sunday. It's not enough for you just to let this be your hearing. You got to go home and hear some more. We just kind of get you started. You know, we're like the launch pad. Then you got to go home and you got to get in this book. You got to pray in the Spirit. You got to turn on those Christian there's great teachers on TV. Amen. Take advantage of them. Listen, we're living in the last hours. The last hours. The enemy's goal is to snuff out faith. He does not want your faith to be strong in this hour because God's got a plan for all of us. We're joined together as the body. He wants us all strong. You bring something to the table. We listened to a prophecy Wednesday night at church, a man we heard recently in Georgetown, and he gave a word from the Lord, and it basically said, listen, all of the body of Christ is meant to bring their portion to the table. Church is not a spectator sport. You bring something when you come to church. You bring an element. You bring a supply. But you got to stay plugged in Monday through Saturday in order to bring something on Sunday of a supply to the body. Amen? So you're responsible. Listen, this is a church of responsible believers. Yeah, you're not going to stay in your Pampers around here long. We're going to grow you up in Christ and get you flowing. Get you edifying other saints. Amen. Turn over to Jude, verse 3. Jude, a couple books to the right. I'm in the right direction this time. The book of Jude. Now, Jude was the brother of who?
Jesus.
That little pop quiz for you. He was the earthly brother of Jesus. Another apostle, which is not far from this book, also starts with a J, was James. He was also the earthly brother of Jesus. Those two books were written by Jesus' natural family. Jude says in verse 3, he says this, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write you of the common salvation, in other words, this is what I intended to write about when I began writing the book of Jude, I realized it was needful for me to write to you and exhort you that you should, what does it say in the King James? Earnestly contend for what? The faith. Obviously, there's a battle on. There's a battle on for your faith. And Jude says here, I had to shift gears. I was going to write about one thing, and the Holy Ghost said, nope, you got to remind them to earnestly contend for faith. I just was reminded when we were in Georgetown last week at this conference, you know, the word of faith message should never get old on us.
Amen.
Amen. It should never get old for the believer. Why? Because the Bible tells us the just shall live by faith. Says it in three places in the New Testament. Class, where's one of those books?
Hebrews.
Hebrews and Romans and Galatians. Yes, you've been paying attention. Praise the Lord. Three places. I'll give you those references for those of you that are taking notes. Romans 1:17 quotes that Old Testament scripture from Habakkuk 2:4, the just shall live by faith. Galatians 3:11 and Hebrews 10:38. Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11, Hebrews 10:38. Wow. You know, during COVID, there was a lot of question brought up about activities and social events that were considered either essential or non-essential. You remember that word essential? It's kind of overused. It was beat like a dead horse. And I want to say this about the believer's life. Faith is essential.
Amen.
You just need to know that. In these last hours, as we're winding down to the coming of the Lord Jesus, faith is essential in your life. And faith is a very personal thing. I can't faith for you. So I said, listen, if you're believing God for financial prosperity, the sky's the limit. Jesus said, be it unto you according to your faith. It's not about a dollar amount. You want this, you want that. And people, the devil has attacked the faith message to say, oh, you name it and claim it, people. Listen, we are name it and claim it, people. Amen. God gives us the land. He calls it the land of Canaan. He gives a specific name. And he says, now you go possess it. That's naming and claiming. Amen. That's what he did to the Israelites. That's what we do in the New Testament. Amen. God gives us, he says, this is your land. Whatever that is. And wherever the Holy Ghost directs your faith, you set your faith on it and you claim it and you possess it. Amen.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Faith is essential. One of the chief elements of faith is that it speaks. We've taught this before. Faith speaks. Faith always says something. Amen? Of course, unbelief does that too, unfortunately. AKA the 10 spies. Unbelief talks, and it can be very damaging. Be very careful what you listen to. Be very careful who you hang with. Your friends ought to be steering you toward a faith level that causes you to rise, not come down in the Lord. Amen? Choose your friends carefully. Choose your influences carefully, because they will either build up or tear down your faith in the Lord Jesus. But faith speaks. It speaks a certain way. Faith calls. Say, faith calls.
Faith calls.
Faith calls. I want Alan to put up on the slide Genesis 17, verses 4 through 8. You can write that reference down. But look at it here on the screen. This is in the Young's Literal Translation. I want to read this to you, because this translation captures the meaning of the Hebrew language, how God speaks in the, he speaks about future things, but he speaks of them as if they've already happened now, like past tense. Look at what he says here in Genesis 17, verse 4. This is the Young's Literal Translation. I, lo, that means pay attention, lo, my covenant is with thee. He's talking to Abram, and thou hast become, look at that wording, thou hast become. Abraham is 99 years old. He hasn't become anything yet. He's the father of nobody. And God says, you have already become father of a multitude of nations. Next. And thy name is no more called Abram, but thy name hath been, like that's past tense, isn't it? Abraham, because God already sees it done. For father of a multitude of nations have I made thee. Again, he's speaking in what? Past tense, as if it's a done deal. That's the way God sees it. And I have made thee exceeding fruitful, Abram, and made thee become nations and kings. They go out from thee. Next. And I have established my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee to their generations for a covenant age during to become God to thee and to thy seed after thee. I'll stop there. I know sometimes reading the Young's Literal Translation is not real readable, but the meaning of the Hebrew comes through a lot stronger in that translation. And notice how God speaks of future things as already accomplished.
Yes.
And this is what faith does. Faith speaks of things not seen as if they've already happened. And it's odd language, honestly. Amen? I mean, if you've got debts owed and you've got nothing in your bank account in the way of savings or even checking, for that matter, and you say, I'm prospering in the Lord Jesus. You're quoting the word of God. I'm prospering in health as my soul prospers, for example, 3 John 2. If you're quoting that to your neighbor, it would seem like foolishness. But to God, it would seem like faith. Are you with me?
Yes.
Because you're saying what God says about your situation, not what the circumstances are telling you. Look, turn over real quickly to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. We could camp on this, the whole message, but I'm just going to read these quickly and then comment on them and roll right along. Romans 4, verse 17. Romans 4, 17. And this is actually commentary on the verse we just read in Genesis. Romans 4, 17 says, "As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who does what? He quickens the dead and calleth," there's that word, underline it, circle it, practice it, "calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope," say that, "against hope, he believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken," not according to what he felt, not according to what circumstances told him, his bank account told him, his check register told him, his body told him, his symptoms told him, but according to that which was what? Spoken, "so shall thy seed be." Praise the Lord. Listen, faith calls. It calls that which hasn't shown up yet. You say, "Pastor Scott, how long do I need to do that? How long do I call?" Until it shows up. Amen. When faith manifests, you can celebrate right then. You don't have to keep calling. But you call until it shows up. You got to be more determined than your enemy. How many of you discovered our enemy's quite determined? You know, you go up for prayer at a church service or a special healing meeting, and immediately the symptoms leave your body, the pain leaves your body. You go, "Woo, praise the Lord." You walk back to your seat with a little dance, a little spring in your step. You get home that night, you know, sit down to eat a burger or whatever. You know, it's a late night dinner. You're just rejoicing. You wake up the next morning, and that pain comes back again. Well, why is that? Jesus said the enemy comes immediately to steal the word that was sown. Amen? He comes immediately to steal that which was sown. And so you're challenged in that moment. Am I healed or not? Your faith is challenged. Am I healed or not? I thought I had it. Looks like I lost it. There's a verse in Matthew. Turn over there real quick with me. I didn't know we'd get that far, but Matthew 13:12. This is an amazing verse about the kingdom of heaven and how it operates. Look at Matthew 13:12. It's a verse that on the surface doesn't seem to make sense, but it's exactly what I'm talking about here. "Whosoever hath," say "hath," "to him shall be," what? "Given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not," or whosoever doesn't believe they have anything, whosoever doesn't believe they've received a thing, why? Because symptoms came back? What did Abraham do? He believed according to that which was spoken, not his symptoms, not what the outward was telling him. "But to him who hath not, even from him shall be taken away that which he hath." Wow, it seems like contradictory, that verse. But it's saying there, this law of faith works this way. When things start improving and you have an improvement, acknowledge it. "Thank you, Jesus. I'm not 100% pain-free, but I'm 30% better." That means you have.
Yes.
"To him who hath, more shall be given." That'll move us from 30% whole to 100%, right? "And he will have an abundance. But to him who hath not," the person who says, "I went up to get prayed for and, you know, I'm still feeling pain." But maybe you haven't acknowledged that the pain's diminished 10%, 30%, 40%. Amen. Are you with me?
Yes.
Your faith, you know, your faith needs to be very sensitive and very aware of what God's done. If you've seen any improvement at all, give thanks for it. Right? Move into what you're already believing for. Have it. In your heart, possess it. Have it. It may not be 100% manifest yet, but have what God's given so far. And you'll have more. Amen. That's what that verse is saying. That's the way faith works. Well, how are you supposed to know what to call for? I know you know this, but let me remind you. When you come to church, you hear the Word of God. The Word of God tells us what to call. The Word of God teaches us that. You hear it through the pastor. You hear it through other members in the body as they share the Word with you, encouraging scriptures with you. You learn what to call, what your faith should be calling for. Amen? I'm so grateful for Revelation Truth. Over the years, when the Lord has shown me and defined for me what is mine in the kingdom. Amen? What's in the mall? When I got born again, when I accepted Jesus, I've walked in the doors. Now what's available to me as a child of God? Amen. Healing is available. Amen. Prosperity is available. Wholeness in my soul is available through Jesus. And the more I discover what's available, then I begin to speak about what I've discovered. I call that which is needs to come into my life. That's what faith does. God calls you healed, but you won't become healed just because he calls you. You only become what you call. See, that's when change comes. You must agree with him first and call yourself healed in order for that healing to manifest. Are you with me?
Yes.
Because we have a part to play. God has a part to play. It's not one without the other. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Our faith is required. Saints, your faith is required. We're going to grow you up in this church, or I'm going to grow myself up. Because we just haven't heard enough of this, honestly, Lois. We've known about faith, and if you've maybe considered the faith movement as being kind of a fringe movement in the body of Christ. Listen, faith is essential. It's not a fringe teaching. It's our very breath. The Apostle John said, it's the victory that overcomes the world. Faith is. Amen? It's not a fringe teaching. We all need faith in order to lay hold of what Jesus has provided at Calvary. Hallelujah.
Right.
Hebrews chapter 4. And we'll land this plane pretty soon here. The wheels are coming down. You need to put your seats in the upright position. You know that uncomfortable position. Go ahead and do that. Hebrews chapter 4. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 4:2. Hebrews 4:2 says this. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, talking about Israel in the Old Testament. But the word preached did not profit them. Who is them?
Here.
Israel, the Jews. Not being what? Mixed with faith in them that heard it. You know, you can go to church service and you've probably been around this or seen this or watched it happen. Two people can sit on the same pew and the preacher can be doing a great job. One person in the pew can get healed, delivered, set free. They got it. They're excited. They're dancing. The next person over is almost asleep.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
The difference between the two is what's happening inside them as they're hearing the word.
Yeah.
One is mixing it with their own faith.
Mm-hmm.
The other's watching their favorite television show in their mind. They're out to lunch. You have to mix faith with the word in order for the power to activate in you. Amen? Yeah, you ladies that cook, you know there are certain things that when you mix the ingredients appropriately, they do things. If you're a chemist, you mix things together, there's reaction. The Bible tells us here in Hebrews 4 that they did not mix faith with that which they heard, and it profited them nothing. We don't want that to be said of us. Amen? There's no need for it to be said. God's power is activated when you mix your faith with his word. Amen? Praise the Lord. What you call comes to you. If you need more to show up, do more calling. Do more calling. You've been confessing it once a week. Well, it's moving at a turtle's pace to get to you. You confess it three times a day, you might see a quick improvement in how fast that thing comes into your life. Amen? Just up your calling, up your confession, up your faith level, your intensity in faith, I should say, through your calling. Are you with me? This is real practical, what I'm saying to you today. It's very practical. Just up your calling. Everything contrary to the word of God in your life and in mine is subject to change. The Apostle Paul said, we look not to those things which are temporal, right? But to the things which are eternal. And everything in your life that's out of alignment, you can rejoice over because that thing is temporal. It's subject to change. Amen? Your kids running amok, you know, not serving Jesus, that's subject to change.
Amen.
Your finances spiraling out of control. You don't know where your next whatever's going to, you know, your next payment's going to, how your next payment's going to be made. That's subject to change.
That's right.
Amen. Anything that we can see with our eyes is subject to change. Praise the Lord. Every circumstance in your life, it's subject to change through the word of God, through the word of faith. Amen. And the power of God. And all you have to do to see it change is to call for it with your faith. Let's stand together. I want us to do that a little bit this morning. Let me just give you an example. We're going to take three verses of Scripture as an illustration. You can go home and do this on your own. I'm just going to quote a couple of verses here. You all know them. You should know them. Every believer should know them. 1 Peter 2:24 tells us, "By his stripes I was healed." So we read that word, and like Abraham, we believe according to that which was spoken, and we declare with our mouth. Just close your eyes and say it with me so we can all be foolish together. Lord, your word declares,
by your
stripes
I was healed.
So I call my body healed.
I call my symptoms removed
through the healing of Jesus. Thank you, Father.
I'm healed
by those stripes. Hallelujah. Colossians 1:13 tells us we are delivered. He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness. So we say, Father,
I thank you
that darkness no longer rules
over my heart,
over my mind,
over my family.
For you've rescued us
from the dominion of darkness.
You've brought us in
to the kingdom of light.
Thank you, Father.
I call forth light.
I declare rescue.
I declare
deliverance
in Jesus.
In Jesus. There's one example. 2 Corinthians 8:9 says, he himself became poor for our sakes that we through his poverty might be made rich. So we say, Father,
I thank you
that I'm rich
because of Jesus.
He was willing
to become poor for me
so I could be made rich.
I call myself rich.
I call myself abundantly supplied.
Overflowing
with goodness,
with provision,
with money,
with resources,
with ability.
I'm rich
in Jesus. Hallelujah. I know you know these things, but this is how you call. And as I said, as often as you call, you are exercising faith in the unseen realm to quicken the power of God toward that need, whatever the need is. Amen. And so often, saints, we pray once, we say it once, and we consider it done. There's some calling involved. There's some faith exercising that's involved along the way. Amen. You keep calling it until it comes. Amen. You call it what God calls it. You refer to it as past tense done, because Peter, the apostle, said, he hath given. Amen. So many times we feel like we're waiting on God to give it to us. I'm going to tell you something. He's given it all to you. It's yours. The Bible says every promise of God is yes and amen in Jesus. It's yes. Amen. He gives us every good thing in Jesus. Well, we thank you, Father, today. We thank you for the word. We thank you that through the hearing of the word, our faith is strengthened, Lord, and we will be a mighty people to achieve what you called us to achieve, to lay hold of all that you provided at Calvary, Jesus. We thank you for healing, for prosperity and strength and goodness abounding in our lives through the word of your faith, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you're here today, anybody at all, with your heads bowed for just a moment longer, and you say, Pastor Scott, I'm not a Christian. This stuff seems foreign to me today because I've never heard anything like this, because I'm not in the kingdom yet. I haven't walked through those doors. I haven't been forgiven of my sins. If that's you and you want to receive Jesus in your heart, we're going to pray a prayer in just a moment to give you the opportunity to receive, and the Bible calls it being born again, for your spirit to be made new and you to become a child of God through faith. Amen. And if you're here today and you say, I've been away from the Father, I've been backslidden, I've been a believer, but I've not been walking with Jesus, but today I'm coming home, this prayer will be for you as well. Amen. Let's pray this prayer together. Dear God,
thank you for sending Jesus
to die for my sins.
I believe he's your son.
And that on the third day you raised him.
He was risen from the dead.
And he's alive today.
He has carried away my sins.
And by believing this,
you make me your child.
You reconcile me, God.
And I now call you Father.
And I thank you that heaven is my destiny
because of Jesus
and his love for me. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, or you prayed it for the second or third time coming back to the Lord, please tell somebody before you go today, or as you go. If you rode with somebody else in a car, tell them, I gave my life to Jesus today. I gave my heart to Jesus. Or I've come back to Jesus today. I'm back in fellowship. I'm back in the house. Amen? And we celebrate with you as a child of God. Well, God bless you. Have a great week. Remember our Wednesday night Bible study. And also next weekend, a whole lot of stuff's going on per the announcements. God bless you.